for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Remember a while ago when we talked about constantly pouring the word into our lives so that in any given situation, the first thing that crosses our mind is a scripture or a promise from God. That's how he changes the way we think. His word becomes the constitution or the law of our mind. It governs the way we think. We think differently because now we see through the eyes of the Lord. And God has a plan for you, an individual plan for you. And that plan begins by listening, by choosing a lifestyle of listening, learning, and being obedient, a lifestyle that's meant to distinguish us from the world. We are called to come out and be separate from the world, and our lifestyle should distinguish us as something different. People should be able to see something different in us than what they see from every other person in the world. Mm-hmm. Too many times, we as Christians want to know, how close can I live to the world and still make it to heaven? When the reality is we should be running 1,000 miles per hour in the opposite direction every time. Yes, we need to guard ourselves from sin. The dreaded S word. It's still a thing. It's still a thing. I had someone tell me this week, you know, we can't talk about sin like we used to. And there's just so much stuff going on in the world, and we can't just say, you know, everything's a sin. We can't talk about sin like we used to. And my response was, you know, the Romans road to salvation is still true. Every verse is still true. And sin is still sin. Mm-hmm. And sin is what separates us from God. And it's anything that separates you from God. We are not called to be saved in one area of our life. We are called to surrender our lives, mm-hmm. and that should reflect a lifestyle of holiness out of gratitude for what God has done for us and out of a desire to please him and to live in victory. So it's not that we're going to call your sin out and say, I don't know, I'm just pulling this out of thin air because this is what's more in my family than anything else. But it's not to say you're a drug addict, so you've got to be sober. You're not called to be sober. You're called to a lifestyle of holiness. And if you seek that, these other things will fall into place. You don't have to fight the fight. The battle is the Lord's. Just surrender. Just surrender. There's still sin in the world. We're still sinners until we accept Christ as our Savior. There's a way out, and that way is through the blood of Jesus. Do you need God in your life? Do you need his power in a situation? John 14:6, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. You need God? Make his son your best friend. Mm-hmm. That means choosing a lifestyle that Jesus is comfortable living alongside you. Let's not make him uncomfortable. Ephesians 3:17 says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Y'all notice the storms we had last weekend. Some of those trees that have shallow roots, they were popped right up out of the ground. Their roots were standing up. But those ones that had roots down deep, they were still standing. And that's what we're called to do. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong as you trust in him. Mm-hmm. And when we make him Savior, He comes into our heart. And so the more we walk by faith, the more comfortable Jesus is living in us. See, conflict between sin and righteousness, that makes Jesus uncomfortable. And we just read that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So when your options are sin or righteousness, choose righteousness. Choose the option that's going to make Jesus comfortable in your life. Because if you need God's power in your life, allow His Son to be your best friend. Think about that if you have children. Sometimes your children will have friends that you love. Mm-hmm. You love them like your own. And one of the reasons you love them is because they get your kid. They love your kid. Mm-hmm. They understand where they're coming from, and they're kind of one and the same, and they remind you of your child. And so if we can live a lifestyle that reminds our Father of His Son, He's pleased with that. There's nothing that He won't do for us or sacrifice for us. He's already done that. That's how much He loves us. So let's live the lifestyle that pleases Him out of a heart of gratitude for loving us that much. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? And here's another deal, just to throw this in on the sideline. What you tolerate, you will not be delivered from.
That's right.
So if you got an area in your life that you've not been delivered from, it's because you are tolerating it. Mm-hmm. You got to get mad, and you've got to get determined to give that thing to God and stand firm, to trust Him so that your roots can grow down deep, so that you're not blown out of the water whenever something happens. Do not tolerate those things in your life that do not result in life. Choose life. And remember, you're not facing it alone. You're not going to have to fight the battle alone. Choose life. Choose Christ, and the battle is His. I love that line in that Riley Clemens song, "Heaven comes to fight for me." Choose life, and heaven comes to fight for me. Whenever I hear that, I kind of picture myself just kind of going, oh. And just sitting down on the sidelines and watching them battle it out and seeing these angels with their glowing swords running after these demons who are fleeing in every direction. And me just standing on the sidelines going, get them, you know, because that's really what it's like. That's really what it's like. Jesus really, really, really is the answer to every question. Sometimes we just need to take a step back and remember who we are. Remember the salvation of the Lord. That salvation is complete. And I know it sounds cliche, and you might be thinking, well, what does that even look like? But you know, the Holy Spirit is living in you, and He's personal. Mm-hmm. He knows what you need when you need it. All that's required from us is trust, faith and trust. And I think sometimes we don't even realize the miraculous, consistent, sustaining power of God in our lives when we trust Him. But if we will take that time to look back over our lives, do that spiritual inventory, we'll see the times God came through, mm-hmm. even if we didn't see it in that moment, mm-hmm. or take the time to see it. You know, I recently did this, kind of was reminded of some things from my past and just blown out of the water at what God's done mm-hmm. over the years. Just this week, I mentioned before we started that last night at our church we had what we called the Sisters of Faith Banquet. And it was a night to celebrate generations of faith. And so we had babies there. We had like, you know, 7-8 year olds there. We had teenagers there. We had moms there. We had grandmas there, great grandmas there. It was just such a beautiful thing to see them all come together and minister to each other. But one of the ladies that was there came up to me and she said, "Do you remember years ago when you gave me a little zipper bag for my Bible that held a notebook and had like a shoulder strap and stuff on it?" And I said, "Oh, I forgot about that." And she said, "Yeah, when you gave me that, I know that you could not afford to give me that. And I didn't want to take it. And you told me, 'No, I want you to have it because I'm sowing seed.'" And I thought, I was in my 30s. That was 25 years ago. And I thought, you know, what God has done since that time. And that was something I gave her and forgot about. Mm-hmm. But God didn't forget. God didn't forget. And years after that, when I became a single mom and I was living paycheck to paycheck, you know, I don't even know how it happened. But when I got divorced, my credit was so bad. So bad. I mean, like 28% interest on a car loan. That's how bad my credit was. I don't even know if that still exists today, but it was terrible. And I got divorced, and for 2 years, God provided after that too, but 2 years was when I noticed. God provided everything I needed. There was not one single bill that was paid late. Not one single bill paid late. Everything was paid on time. I might get it paid and have $50 left to buy groceries and incidentals for the next 2 weeks, and I had a child at home. But God always made it come through. And 2 years later, when I needed another car, I was able to get 0% interest because of what God had done with my credit, simply because I've been faithful through that time. But I'd sown that seed before that time. Didn't even remember doing it. And I thought, God's word is so true. You can count on it. But we're so instant, we want to sow the seed today and see the harvest tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Or this afternoon. Mm-hmm. And God knows when we need it. And so it's so cool. It's so cool. If we will take that time to do a spiritual inventory from time to time, just look back. Mm-hmm. Remember your salvation day and all the days since then and all the ways that God has kept you and been faithful time after time after time. Through every situation. You know, today this world is a totally different place than it was in our grandparents' day. Mm-hmm. Evil abounds in ways that we can't fathom, but our God is still the same. He's still all powerful. He's still all knowing. Mm-hmm. He's still all consuming. And I love this part. He is not shaken by what's happening in this world. And if we choose him and invite him to live inside our hearts, we won't be shaken either, because we will spill what we're filled with. So get back to the basics. Pray on your knees. Let's get back to our knees. And this is for those pastors out there who are wanting revival in their church. You want to do something radical? Get the altars back in the church. Mm-hmm. Teach people to get on their face before God and on their knees before God and pray through, because there is something powerful that happens when you physically rise up out of your seat and make a move towards God, and he meets you there. Because Satan can't steal that. It's harder for him to convince you that moment wasn't real than it is when you do it on your own in your seat, mm-hmm. or you do it aloud all together. And I'm not saying that's not real. It is real. But Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so let's do it in a way the Bible says openly declare. Openly declare. You want to get saved? You're in church this morning. You want to give your heart and life to Jesus? Get up out of your seat. Get to these altars. There are people down here who want to pray with you. They will meet you here, and heaven is rejoicing. Heaven is rejoicing. Here's the deal. If you can't stand up in a body of believers, how are you going to stand up in the world? Mm-hmm. How are you going to do it then? We get our sea legs, so to speak, at home with our families. You know, babies learn to walk across the kitchen floor with their mamas going just like this. And they do that before we send them out into school. Mm-hmm. They've learned to walk, talk, and sit still. And that's what God wants to do to us with our family at home in our local church, our local body. They're our family. And those grandmas, man, we need to hear their stories. Mm-hmm. We need to hear their stories of God's faithfulness. We need to know how many times God set a bag of groceries on their doorstep or healed their baby from a fever in the middle of the night because there was no such thing as Tylenol. We need to know. We need to hear those stories. We need to know about this girl at school that's struggling with her gender identity because it's thrown in her face every day and the world is constantly contradicting everything that God's word says, and now she's confused and she's struggling. We need to know that so we can pour the truth of God into her life, because again, God is not calling her to a heterosexual lifestyle. He's calling her to a lifestyle of holiness that will bring her peace, love, joy, and all those things that her heart desires the most. And if we don't know, we don't reach out. Mm-hmm. We don't minister. So we don't judge. We love. We love. We say, sister, come here. Let me love on you. Put your arms around her. I'm sorry you're going through this. Let me pray for you. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Start there. Let me explain to you your condition and what God can do for you. And then help them get rooted and grounded in a church that will pour the word into them. And I'm sorry, we need it more than 45 minutes on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. We have got to prioritize mm-hmm. Christ in our lives. There's no way around it. We've got to get in the word. We've got to read it. We've got to study it. We've got to talk about it with our friends. Get involved in that Bible-believing church. If you don't go to church and you say, well, I watch it on TV and I read the word, that's great. That's great. I've been there at some times in my life, but it's not enough. That is a season. Get up, get out, and get moving for the kingdom. We all have something to do, and we are called to do life together for Christ. He created the church as a family. He created his children. We're his children. Mm-hmm. I mean, he calls us his children. He calls himself Father. We are created to be a family. And so you need to be connected to a body of believers that can become your immediate family, because you've got extended family all around the globe, and we need to be connected. Together is how we build the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to leave you with this one final thought, and it's this. If you want to see supernatural power in your life, you must have supernatural priorities. Mm. Choose life. Choose life. And I think we have a few minutes, Monica, if you'd like to share just a little bit about what God's been doing with you along this line. I think it just goes right along with everything. That'd be awesome.
Whenever I watched my husband die of Hep C, the final stages of Hep C. That's a direct, it was directly from his sin, using IV drugs. Mm-hmm. And I got it, and I was so angry at him for a long time. until I got corrected. He didn't hold a gun to my head and make me get up and put my arm out. Mm-hmm. I crumbled. I made the decision to bow down and get up and put my arm up. In turn, I had got a hep C. And it tormented me because I seen how it was going to end. Mm-hmm. And whenever I surrendered that to God and asked God to help me, I want to live, Lord. I want to live. I don't want to die like that. I don't want to die. Mm-hmm. I want to live, Lord. Please help me. I saw a commercial come on the TV. And the Lord told me, call them. They will help you. And I called. And I'm hep C free. I was cured.
Wow. Praise God. That's a God thing.
God used a medication to cure my hep C.
Wow.
I'm not going to give the pill the glory.
No.
I'm not. It was my God.
Yes. And your obedience to what he told you to do.
That healed me.
Yeah.
And that's the tool he used to heal me. Because my faith, it wasn't a lack of God's power.
That's it.
It was a lack of Monica's faith and trust in him to do the miracle. I hadn't gotten there yet, you know?
Yeah.
I had some growing to do. And this title today, the Lord told me when I was in the floor, curled up in a ball, sick and tired of being sick and tired. Mm-hmm. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, get back to basics. You need to get back to the basics. And then I started hearing songs from Sunday school, from whenever I was little. The Lord's Army, Joy in My Heart, you know, and a few other ones. Jesus Loves Me. And so I would start singing those. I had to reconvince myself. And I had to take back. I had to take back my identity because I'd given it to the devil. And because of Jesus Christ and what he did, I was given the authority to go back and snatch my stuff back from the enemy.
That's awesome.
And God used my relapse. God used my relapse to bring my two bonus daughters to him. Not just out of drugs, but he used it to woo them to him.
Yeah.
Now both of them are clean, love the Lord.
That's awesome.
And have their family restored.
That's
God
amazing.
Can
yes
and will.
Praise God. I love that. I love that story. And I love how you talked about how God took you back to Sunday school, the things you learned as a child, because my heart has really been there this week too, is, you know, our little 3, 4, 5 year olds at church, they're not tainted by the world yet. And so they accept that truth so much more easily. And if we can seize that moment in their lives to pour truth into them, when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Because when they're old and they're faced with choosing life or death, those little songs, those Bible stories, those memory verses will be bubbling back up in their mind, and they'll know that God is who he says he is and that their answer is in Jesus. So we've got to reach our children, and we've got to get back to the basics and come to him like a child. Mm-hmm. Trusting, believing he is who he says he is. He's going to do what he says he can is going to do, and I'm just reaping his love.
You know, something the devil is after our kids.
Yes, mm-hmm. He is.
Even more so than before.
Yeah.
And we've got to stand against the enemy.
We do.
And we've got to cover our children. Mm-hmm. We've got to educate them. They have to know that this is not a merry-go-round.
Yeah.
This ain't patty cake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
They have an enemy mm-hmm. that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And if the devil can get us so distracted mm-hmm. as parents and grandparents,
yeah,
get us distracted with the messes that he's making in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's got our eyes off what we need to be looking at mm-hmm. and protecting.
Exactly. And we don't, with these little children, we don't have to come up with a new way to present it to him. You know, there's that's kind of the big deal right now is that there's so much out there, and like kids today won't respond to what we responded to, and you have to present it in a different way. And I don't have a problem with that as long as the message stays pure. Mm-hmm. But this week, I was a children's pastor years ago, and this week I was doing some organizing, and I came across my curriculum. You know, it's a bunch of books about this much, you know, on my bookshelf. But as I was putting it up there, and I, at that particular point when I was using that, I taught the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. And I thought, you know what? This is still relevant. This still works because they haven't been contaminated by the world yet. We don't even have to come at them at a different way. We don't have to reinvent the wheel on how we get the word into their lives with these little kids. And if we can start it down there when they're adolescents and teenagers, there's already a foundation that's been built. And then we can build on that and they can receive. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to break the ground when it's already hard. But when they're 3, 4, and 5, they're still pliable and the ground is still soft. So that's cool. I love that. I love that. Tell you what, God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
Good word. You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It's the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and our sister Renee Kilhoffer, y'all have a good day, and we'll see you next time.
Oh, that was good.
Hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.